Gemara tells about the census that was taken. Usually, the Haftarah also talks about taking a census. That's the simple connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha. The Haftarah begins, V'hoyam mispah b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayam asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer. So the Gemara understands that there's an Issa, lo yimad v'lo yisafer. You're not allowed to count the Jewish people. And Chumash also says, when you want to take a census, you're not allowed to count the people, so you have to have them give, either give a machtza shekel, and then you count how much money you have, or everybody gives a pebble, or everybody gives something. You count all the things. The Gemara Pesachim tells that on one occasion on Erev Pesach, they wanted to take a census of how many people came to participate in the Korban Pesach. So the Kohen, who would be makriv the Korbanos, would hold up the Emurim just for a moment, and then someone would throw a pebble into a container. And then each time they brought another Korban Pesach, they had lines and lines of people. He would hold up the Emurim for a moment before he would be makriv it, and then someone would throw a pebble, and then they counted up all the pebbles. And they saw how many Korbanos Pesach were brought, and then on every Korban Pesach there were at least 10 shutfim together, so they multiplied by 10. And the Gemara says it was Kiflaim Kiyotz Mitzrayim, twice as many people as Shishim Ribum. So there's a din, you're not allowed to count people directly. Even not to count directly, you're only allowed to count if you have a tzorech. Yeah, what was the tzorech over here for the army? Vashe Pshat is that this was a count for the purpose of the army. And that's why you counted only from the age of 20 and up, because Rashi says you don't draft people younger than the age of 20. That's taka. That's a question why the Rambam doesn't quote that. The Rambam has all the Hilchas Melachim and Melchama same. He doesn't quote this din. So some say that the Rambam holds that this is only Hayroa Shoah. In the Midbar, they only drafted from the age of 20 up. But Lidoris, there is no such din. Now the government does draft even younger. They draft people in Eretz Yisrael younger than 20. So some taina that it's against the din. Now to say that perhaps it's only a Hayro Ashur, maybe it's not a din lederus. Rabban Chumash says over here, how do they count? So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu would stand in front of the Ohel, and then would ask how many children are there, and the husband and the wife, how many children are there? So they would, the husband, the father of the household, would write on a piece of paper all of the names of the members of the family, and then Moshe Rabbeinu would look at it, and he would give them a bracha. I remember when I was a Talmud in high school, we had learned Chumash also. So the Rebbe taught Gemara, and they taught Chumash. I remember they taught Chumash Bamidbar. So the Rebbe said, this was the marker of giving a kvittel. That was Rabbi Weiss, who was a chassidisha. So he said, this is the mocker that you give a kvittel to the Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe, and you write down the names of the people in the family. The Rebbe looks at it and he gives a bracha to everybody. Because the Ramban and Chumash says, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did over here. The father of the household would write down on a piece of paper all the names of the members of the family, and Moshe Rabbeinu would look at the names and give them a bracha, and then they would add up the sum total of all of the people. So the Pashto says that this is for the purpose of the drift, for the purpose of the army. Shevet Levi was not counted.
What was the purpose of counting the how many people brought the Korban Pesach?
I don't know. What was the tzorach? I don't know. I don't know. It's a story in the Gemara. I don't think the Gemara tells you what the purpose was. Don't know. Here, they didn't count Shevet Levi, so the Pashto says that this would lead one to believe that Shevet Levi didn't serve in the army. That's the famous Rambam in the end of Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel. He says that Shevet Levi is supposed to Yoreh Mishpatecha V'Yakim Seroscha L'Yisrael. The Levim are supposed to be sitting and learning and paskening Shailas. So you don't drift Talmid Chacham in the army. So the simple reading of the Rambam is the Rambam understood the Psukim that the Shevet Levi was not drifted into the army. Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanoim and the Sifrei Beferish Natzo. Later, in the end of Chumash, in Chumash Bamidbar, you have about the Melchemes Midyon in Parshas Matos. It says that they took Elef Lamata, Shnei Moser Elef, Chalutzei Tzovo. So Rashi says, how do you get Shnei Moser Elef? Shevet Levi is included. The Rambam apparently thinks that Menashe Ephraim counted as two Shvatim. Shevet Levi was not drafted in the army. And Rashi says not so. Rashi and Chumash says, Yisish Neymoser Elef, that Shevet Levi was also included. That Menashe Ephraim counts as one Shevet, and I counted as two Shvatim. Then the Rambam says that even someone who is not from Shevet Levi, whoever, that's the famous Rambam that everybody quotes. All the Rashi Yeshiva and Eretz quote. That whoever wants to volunteer to dedicate his life to learning can become an honorary member of Shevet Levi, and you don't draft him into the army. The question is, do we pass like the Rambam, do we pass like Rashi? Is it really so that we hold like that? You don't draft Shevet Levi? So the during the First World War, the Kohanim in England said they're not allowed to join the army because they're not allowed to be Metamel Mason in the army. You shoot to kill, they're going to be dead bodies all over the place. So they brought the British government brought the issue up by the chief rabbi, happened to be Rabbi Nathan Adler. I think Rabbi Nathan Adler also got smicha, I think, from Rabbi Yankov Etlinger, the one who wrote the Oruch Laner. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch got smicha from him, and I think he was about the same time, Rabbi Nathan Adler. So he had a paskan on this. So the Beis Din in London always had pretty decent Talmidei Chachamim. So they issued a psak with the chief rabbi. They issued a psak that the Kohanim are drafted into the army based on the Mordechai in Gittin. The Mordechai in Gittin says that you do draft Kohanim into the army, Baharaya, that the Gemara in the first parak in Kiddushin has a discussion whether Kohanim is mutter b'yifastoyer. The soldiers in the army, it says, if in Parshas Kisei Tzela Mahama, so there's a heta, even though she's a nochris. But the shaila is, if the soldier is a kohen, so there's a double isa. Not only is an isa nochris, and the geiris is balkorcha, it's a question on the geiris, there's going to be a shaila of a zayin and a kohen. It's going to be a double shaila. So that's the Gemara shaila, is when the Torah gave the heta yifastar, the dibratel kenegad yetzahara, maybe the heta is only applicable to Yisraelim, but there's only one isa. By Kohanim, we have a double isa, and maybe there's no heter. So the Gemara discusses it. So the Mordechai says, if you don't draft Kohanim in the army, so the whole shaila doesn't exist. What do you mean? An outsider. A Kohen wants to take it if Astar is not a soldier in the army. So what shaykh? So you see that you even draft Kohanim in the army. So of course you draft Shevet Levi also. Everybody's drafting in them. So we really don't accept that Rambam. We really don't hold like the Rambam. The chief rabbi of England, paskin against the Rambam. And the tshuvas of, we mentioned it, and Parsha Zohar, the tshuvas of Shlomo Levilna. He has a table of contents, and he tells you what the topic is in every chapter. And then on one chapter, he says, I left it out because my brother, Rabbi Tzal Vilna, said that it's all wrong. But he tells you in one sentence what he wrote in the chapter. He wrote that a Kohen can't be the, they were both Kohanim, Rabbi Shlomo Levilna, Rabbi Tzal Vilna, they were Kohanim, they were brothers, they're both Kohanim. So he wrote that a Kohen can't be the Balkore to lane Parsha Zohar. Because the Chinuch writes that women are potter from hearing Parsha Zohar. Only those who serve in the army have to hear Parsha Zohar. Because the whole idea of Parsha Zohar is you should hear Parsha Zohar and be prepared to serve in the army. But women don't serve in the army, so they don't have to hear Parsha Zohar. So he came up with a suggestion that Kohanim are not functioning, Kohanim are not drafted into the army either, so Kohanim are potter. In Parsha Zohar, if you're not mechuyev, and let's say the father's away, so the son before bar mitzvah is going to say kiddush to be moitzi the mother. So the son is before bar mitzvah, he's only mechuyev in the rabbanon and kiddush. The mother is a gedolah, the mother is a bas mitzvah already. So the mother is mechuyev in kiddush ma'atorah. So the son cannot be moitzi the mother with the reciting of kiddush. So if kohanim are not drafted into the army, so then he assumed that it should be the same din as women, that Kohanim should not be chayv in Parsha Zohar, so then it can't be the Balkari to lane for the others. So he writes that my brother told me I should leave it out, that it's all wrong. Shad is, why is it wrong? So maybe he thought that Kohanim are drafted into the army. Maybe Kohanim are drafted, like the Mordechai says, Kohanim are drafted in the army. The Gemara says that there are two types of there's a whole perek Mashoch Melchama in the end of Maseches Soita. So the Mashoch Melchama recites by Mochemes Arishus, I'll be Pashas. Mihu Isha Sheeris Isha Velochach, Mihu Isha Shababa, Banabais Velochanacha, not take care of Velochilalo, Yelach Vyashu Lebes. So this only applies to Mochemes Arishus. Mochemes Mitzvah, the Mishnah says, everybody goes, there are no Pturim Yorchai, there are no Choizrim Yorchai Mocham. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that the whole idea of having a Moshech Mocham only applies to a Mochemes Arishus. Mochemes Mitzvah, you don't have it. And the Ravid writes the same. The Ravid on the Hasogas on the Rambam, the way we have printed in the Rambam writes, starts off a perek, Echad Mochemes Arishus, Echad Mochemes Mitzvah. You appoint a Kohen Adabir Ha'am. Even a Mochemes Mitzvah, you also appoint a Moshech Mochama to speak to the people. So the Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. Why should you appoint a Moshech Mochama by Mochemes Mitzvah if they're not Chozrim Yochah Mochama? Unless you'll say that it's relevant to the second half of the Drasha. When the Moshech Mochama recites the Parsha, so the first half he says, who's Potter from the war? That's the beginning of Perek Zayin, the Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam, the Perek begins, Echem Lachemes Mitzvah, Echem Lachemes Avishus, Nemanim Koen Adaber Ha'om B'Shas HaMalcham. So the Rebbe is Masik, why should you appoint a Moshech Mochama to give the Drasha by Lachemes Mitzvah, there are no Chozim Roch Mochama. So the Radvaz points out that the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes like the Rebbe, but over here he writes not so. He says that you appoint even a Lachemes Mitzvah, you also have a Moshech Mochama. So the Rebbe suggests maybe the Rama means that the Moshech Mochama says the second half of the Parsha, that we shouldn't be afraid. Latira v'la tachasu v'la tartzameem k'ashem l'kech m'salap b'karach m'achnech l'hatzi lecha v'losa avecha b'yadecha. Maybe the pep talk, maybe the Divrei Musa, the Kohen Moshech Mochama should say. But the Rebbe doesn't like it, why not? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, because either you say the whole Parsha or you say nothing. It's not called kichsavoy. If you're only going to say the second half of the Parsha, you're not going to say the Pturim, so then it's not kichsava, because you only said a half a parsha. That's perhaps the simple answer of the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole shtick of Torah years ago. He suggested that maybe even in the Mochemes Mitzvah, you do lain even the three pturim, the chozim yocham alchama. What's the significance? What's the relevance? So he says, maybe, I think what he said was that there's a chayvus hatzibur to serve in the army and the by Mochemes Mitzvah, but there's a chayvus hayochid as well. So when you have the pturim miyorchem al chama, there's no longer. I already forgot which rhymes. One chayv you don't have, one chayv you do have. He's still mechuyev to serve in the army. The chayvus hayochid is there, but the chayvus hatzibur is not there. So what's a dafke mina? But you have to serve in the army anyway. So he said, the Rambam quotes from the Mishnah that if someone runs away from the front, so the generals in charge, have to kill him. Because if he's going to run away, he's going to break the whole morale of the whole army. So that din, you have a right to kill him. Maybe that's only when there's a chayvus hayochid. But if it's only Chayvus HaTzibur, the whole community is Mechuyev, and then no Chozim Yocham Alchama by Mochemes Mitzvah because of the Chayvus HaTzibur, so maybe you have no right to kill him because of that. He suggested to split hairs. So maybe it's relevant even to lane the Chelek of the Parsha by Mochemes Mitzvah about the Chozim Yocham Alchama. Maybe it's even relevant there. So Rav Chaim Heller was still alive at that time. Rav Chaim Heller told Rav Soloveitchik that the whole thing was wrong. The whole shtickel Torah is wrong, because he, Rav Chaim Heller, knew Arabic. So he made a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHarambam. And so here and there's a mistake in the Hebrew translation, the old Hebrew translation that was translated while the Rambam was still alive. Every so often there's a mistake, so he corrects it. So he has footnotes on the bottom of the page. Sometimes the footnotes are very important. He's explaining why you had to correct a mistake in the Hebrew. And sometimes he has a shtickel Torah. So on this Rambam, he has a shtickel Torah. He has a suggestion that the end of Perek Vav in Hilchas Malachim ends off with the din v'yaseh t'ilacha alazei necha v'chei mitzvah sesei liyos yaseh l'cha lechot v'yechot t'luya im klei malchamtoi. When he has to go to Beis HaKiseh v'chisisa seresecha, you have to cover it. Shenema v'yaseh t'ilacha alazei necha v'goymer. Ben she'esh imoim oran, ben she'en imoim oran, kach imoisim tom, shenema v'hoya machanecha kodesh. And then this line that we have printed at the beginning of Perek Vav, Perek Zayin, really should be the last line of Perek Vav. Ech machames mitzvah, ech machames harishus, nekudatayim. That should be the end of Perek Vav. And then you start Perek Zayin, the manim koin adaber ha. But the way we have it printed, it says ech machames mitzvah, ech machames harishus, manim koin adaber ha. Rab Chaim Ella suggests maybe that's a mistake. Maybe that's a mistake. They told me that in the Frankel edition they don't have any kisveyad that indicate this. All the kisveyad are the same as the way it's printed by us. That was Rab Chaim Heller's suggestion, but it doesn't seem to be to hold water. Yeah. One of the people who's potter from the army, Mihu Isha Yori Verachalevav Yelach V'Yoshev L'Beisoy. So the Poshup Shad Yori Barach Alevav, he's not prepared for war psychologically. He's going to run away from the front, so he's going to destroy the whole discipline in the army. And one Tana says that there's an additional level of interpretation, the Yori Me'averish HaBiyodai. Like the Gemara tells a story, one of the Amoraim, the Gemara in Brochus tells a story, one of the Amoraim saw a Talmud who was very nervous. So he said, Chato at, you're a sinner. Because it says, Pachatu b'tzion chatoim. Only the sinners are afraid. So he said, the Talmud asked, why? But there's another pasuk that says, Ashur yadam afachet tamid. So you should always be afraid. So he says, no, hu b'divrei Torah hu dichsiv. That means it's the praises of a person. Ashur yadam afachet tamid. He's nervous. Maybe he didn't learn the right pshat. Maybe he's not mekayim the mitzvah properly. He's nervous about the shmiras ha-mitzvah, says he medaktik ha-mitzvah is enough. But a person is afraid that the goyim are going to come and shoot him. He's nervous about the mili di alma. That's not right. That's pachad da b'tzion chatoim. So that's what one Tana insists in the Mishnah, the Ashmish, mihu isha sheyori v'rach aleva, yelch v'yosha lebeso, means one is a balaver, yori me'aver shebiyodai. And then the Mishnah has a machlekes within that shita, that a balavera is not accepted in the army. What if he's careful only to violate averas derabanan? Maybe the din only applies to one who violates averas deraisa. Avera derabanan is not called the yori v'racha levav, or no, even an avera derabanan. So the Gemara says, what's an example of an avera derabanan? So the Gemara has the famous Gemara, hasoch pein tefillin shel yad, the tefillin shel rosh, igorim brocha shein atzricha. If you're talking between shel yad and shel rosh, then you have to repeat. Then you have to say an extra bracha. Like this Rashi and Tosfos says, what extra bracha do you say? So the Gurim bracha shein etzricha bracha levatola. Somehow the Magen Avraham thinks according to the Rambam is an aver deraisa. But if you Gurim bracha shein etzricha, that's not an aver deraisa. Let's say a person eats a half a sandwich, then he benches, then he wants to eat the other half. He always wants to eat the other half, but he wants to make mea brachas b'chol yom. So he eats a half a sandwich, then he says Birchas Hamazon, then he washes, says Anatil Zadam, then he says Amotzi, another bracha, then he benches on the other hand. So that's Goren Bracha Shein Tzricha. It wasn't necessary to wash again and to divide the meal in half. He had in mind Melech HaTchila to eat the whole sandwich. So Goren Bracha Shein Tzricha is not a bracha about Tola. Goren Bracha Shein Tzricha, when he says the brachas, each bracha is in place. But that's an Issa de Rabbon, and Goren Bracha Shein Tzricha. So that thing Mara said, that'll be enough kamina whether you kick him out of the army or not. Well, let's say a kohen marries a grusha, that's an isa deraisa. A kohen marries a chalutza, that's only the rabbanim. So that'll be a machleika satanai. The pashtus is, though, that we don't pass like the whole thing. Most of the rishonim do not accept that opinion. So it's not even some. A minority of the rishonim do quote that shita lahaloch, that a balaver is not taken into the army. They tell a story about in Balojan Yeshiva that on Purim they used to put on a skit. So in the last years in Balojan, they had a lot of maskilim learning in the yeshiva. They wanted some intellectual excitement, and they weren't accepted into universities because they were all anti-Semitic. So they came to learn a Balojan Yeshiva, but they didn't really belong there. So once on Purim, they put on a skit. So they had a draft board, and everybody gets a letter from the draft that they have to come appear. And then they have the committees asking them, did you ever talk Lashon Hara? Did you ever eat Chazer? Did you ever do this? Did you ever do that? And they keep on puzzling everybody from the army. They can't accept anybody in the army. So it turns out there are only three soldiers in the whole army. There's the Shagazaryeh and the Vilna Gaon and the Netziv. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. So everybody was rolling on the floor in laughter, and the Netziv was sitting and listening to the whole thing. And then after the whole skit was over, he said, so what's the end of the skit? They said, that's the end. He said, no, the end is that we won the war. If you have soldiers who are medaktik and mitzvahs, then they're going to win the war. Yeah. So the whole thing is shalai kalach, because we really don't paskin like that. The pashtus is that we assume la halacha that even one who is a bal avera is drifting into the army. Yeah, the levim are not counted. The levim are not counted in from the age of 20 up. They were counted from the age of ben chodesh v'mayla. That's what led the Rambam to understand that they weren't drifting into the army, because the whole purpose of taking the census was in order to know how many soldiers, kol yetzitz abemiso, to know how many soldiers you have to fight a war. So that's what led the Rambam to believe like that the Levim are not serving in the army. So what was the significance of counting the Levim? So the Gemara, the Psukim say, because there were 22,000, how many Pchorim were there? 22,000 275. I forgot already. So how many Levim were there? 22,000. Then they counted Shlaim, the Bechorim, there were 273. 273 extra Bechorim, more than the Levim. Those 273, there was no Levi to be paid to him, so they had to give Chamish Shloim each. And the 22,000 who were covered with Levim, so they didn't have to give Pinyan Abin. It wasn't necessary for them. So the Gemara in Bechoris in the first parak points out, the Chumash only tells you how many more Bechorim there were than in excess of the Levim, the 273 extra. It doesn't tell you how many Bechor Petarechem, what do you call it? Petachamor. They were only paid to the Petrechamor, it's not paid to the Bechor Behemotoro. Petachamor Tifte Beseh. So the Behemoth Levim were substituting for the Pitrei Chamorim of the Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara assumes there must have been many more Pitrei Chamorim than there were Seyim, Seyos, whatever the plural is, Behemoth of the Levim, Tachas Behem Tom. And nonetheless, the Pasuk doesn't say that they had to adjust anything. So the Gemara says, Se Echad Shel Ben Levi Pata Kama Pitrei Chamorim Shel Yisrael. With respect to the Levim, substituting Lakachti Levim Tachas Kal Bechor B'Bnei Yisrael, so one Levi can only take the place of one Bechor. There were 273 Otvim, so they had to give Chamesh Shkolim each. But one Seh of the Levim was able to be paid in many Pitchei Chamorim of the Yisraelim. So that's what happened. So the Gemara says, and that din is not only a Hirasha once in the history of the world, that is relevant Lalacha for us. That what if a person has a vadai petach hamor and he says tifta b'seh, so he has to give the seh away to the kohen. It's one of the matnas kahuna, so then he can use it a second time to be paid another petach hamor, unless he buys it up from the kohen. If he buys it back from the kohen, then he can use it a second time. But the Gemara says, what if he have a suffic petach hamor? So the two dinim in petach hamor. Petach hamor, there's a machlokes hatanaim. Machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, whether Petach Hamor Kodim Pidyon is also Bahanoah or not. So we paskin like Reb Shimon that pet chamor kodim pinyon is also bahano. It is also bahano. So what do you do if you have a sofik pet chamor? So you have to be paided b'seh. Because sofik there, sofik is surah l'chomer. Sofik there is l'chomer. But do you have to give over the sofik petach, sofik pinyon pet chamor? I was mafresh aseb. In order to remove the Yisra HaNoah, as Petach HaMar, Kodim Pinyon is also Banoah. I have an obligation to give it to the Kohen, so the din is, Hamotz Machaber Olivarai. That's the whole sugya of Tok for Kohen. If the Kohen, what's the din? If the Kohen grabbed the Sofik Pinyon Petach HaMar, the Bailim and not Mechuyev, the farmer who has the Sofik Petach HaMar born, why should there be a Sofik Petach HaMar? Because it's very common that they have a lot of miscarriages. So a lot of times you don't know. You're not sure whether this is really a Petach HaMar. The Chamor had a miscarriage, so let's say if it would be a human being. So if there was a Tzuras Havlad, if the miscarriage was before 40 days, that doesn't count. So the next one is going to have a din of a Petach HaMar, just like by human beings. It's going to have a din of Bechor Pidyon HaBen. It's going to need Pidyon HaBen. But if the Tzuras Havlad was Nikar already, the 43rd day, the 44th day, soon after the 40 days, the Tzuras Havlad is Nikar. It's very tiny, an inch by an inch, but the Tzuras Havlad is already Nikar. So then if there's a miscarriage, then the next one is not going to have a din of Pidyon HaBen. So by the Behemoth also, if there was a Tzuras Havlad of the Chamor, then the next one will be Potah from Pidyon Petach HaMar. So a lot of times you can't tell. He knows that the Chamor had a miscarriage. He does know whether it was, if the Tzuras Havlad was Nikar or before. So then, Sofik Isura Lechum, Sofik Mamana Lekula. So you have to do Pidyon Petach HaMar to take off the Yisra HaNoah from the Petach HaMar. But do you have to give it to the Kohen? So then you don't have to. Amaitz Machavero, all of Harai. So that's the Gemara has the whole discussion. What's a din of talk for Kohen? What if the Kohen grabs it? So the Gemara says, in a case where you have a said that you paid a Sofik Petach HaMar, you can use the same said a second time. To be paid another Petach HaMar, because that's what happened, that din that happened in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that din is a din l'doris. Se'echot men alevim potah kama pitrach HaMar. You don't say that something is chal on, even if it was a Petach HaMar, a vade Petach HaMar, you don't say that something was chal on the se'e, and you can't use it a second time. If you gave over Petach HaMar, tifta b'se'e, gave the se'e to the koy, and then you bought it back, then if you want, you can use it again to be paid another Petach HaMar. And if it's a Safi Petach HaMar, then you can use it twice. You don't have to give it in between to the coin. You can use it twice. So that's why there's a Gemara in the first parak in Bab Metzia. It's a Gemara from Chorus. So the Gemara says, Mishi Eishla, a farmer has Asara Safik Pitri Chamor in Mitoch Edro. He has 10 Chamoros, gave birth, and all 10 are a Safik. So he can be paid on 10 sheep, one set for each one. And then we assume that Hamotz Machaber Olivarai, you don't have to give it to the Kohen. And that's the Shaila in the Gemara, whether Safik Mammon, the person who's Muchsa keeps it, does he keep it B'Torah Vada, does he only keep it B'Torah Safik? What's the din if talk for Kohen? What if the Kohen grabs it? He says, Zoyske Paskin, whoever is Muchsa B'Shas Leilis on Safik, holds onto it B'Torah Vadai. Or just B'Torah Safik. So the Gemara says he holds on to a B'Torah Svadai, and now he has 10 sheep that were born in his herd, and he used all the 10 sheep to be paid. Each sheep was used to be paid one Safik, Petach HaMar, so the 10 sheep still belong to him B'Torah Svadai, and he's Mafrish Maisa Behema on the 10 sheep, because it's not called Lokuach. It's not considered as if it really belongs to the Kohanim, and he took it away from the Kohanim. It's not called Lokuach, it's Vadai his. So the Gemara says, does not seem to indicate that Tokfa Kayim Matzina is a miyode, that the Psak is B'Torah's father. Whoever is Muchzak, B'Shas Leidus HaSafik, keeps hold on to the Mammon, B'Torah's father. So in that Gemara, Tosfos has a kasha. If the fella has 10 Safik Pidrei Chamor, why does he have to be Mafrish 10 Sayin, Mafrish Aleim Asar Sayin, Ma'asron Behen Shalom? Why does he have to be Mafrish 10? He can take the same Seh, and be paid it 10 times over. So Tosfos blinds by Kash. Tosfos doesn't have a teretz on the Kash. Remember, there used to be a big Talmud Chacham in Borough Park, Rabbi Eliezer Kirzner. He was a big Bucky. He was a fantastic Bucky. Rabbi Gifter said he never believed all these stories that they say about the pin test. He can stick a pin somewhere, whatever. They told him he would test them out. He tested this Rabbi Kurzner. He can tell you. And you put a pin in the Gemara, he'd tell you what letter it is on each daf in the Gemara. And he used to walk around with a pocket Gemara. He used to walk around with a little Gemara in his pocket that had a half an Amud on the page. It didn't have like us. We have Daf Beis Amud Aleph, then Daf Beis Amud Beis. He walked around with the Gemara that had Daf Beis Amud Aleph was on two sides of the page. Beis Amud Beis was on two sides of the page. So the pocket Gemara that he carried with him had a different layout, and still he knew what letter would be on the pin on Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, Daf Dal. He knew everything. So he also had a degree in mathematics. I think he went to university in England. He went to one of the famous universities in England. So he said, I remember he once told me the teretz to the kasha is that Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he says ein hoch b'mamen achar harayv, he can't be motzi mamen based on a rayv. That's only if it's a normal rayv, 85% rayv, 90% rayv. What if it's 99% rayv? There's a miyuta, the miyuta against it, and Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva, and the tshuva is tinyana, that then you can't be moitzi mamon. So he said, if you know a little mathematics, so he says, if you have a sofik petach hamor, so you use it once, so it's a 50-50 sofik. If you can keep it, you have to give it to the kohen, you're going to use it. A second time, it'll become 75-25. Use it a third time, it'll become, instead of 25, it'll be 12.5. Use it a fourth time, it'll be 6.25. Use it a fifth time, it'll be 3.125% that it's yours. It'll be 97% likely, it's 96 in 7/8 that it belongs to the kohen, and only 3.125% chance that it's yours. Use it a sixth time, it'll only be 1.55. That it's yours. You're going to use it 10 times, one after the other. So each time, you keep on cutting in half and half and half. It'll be such a rive. It'll be 99.99% by those that it belongs to the coin. So then you'll have to give it to the coin. So that's what the Gemara says. Mishayishla, Sora, Sofrit, Pitach, Hamarim. You should be poida and take, you take 10 same. You don't take the same set. And be poida 10 times. You can you be poida 10 times over. But you're going to reach a point that is going to be so close to Avadai that you'll have to give it to the coin. That was his mathematical teretz on Tosis Kasha. Yeah.
Why is there a difference between using the same se again in the case of Safik Petach Hamor and in the case of Avadai Petach Hamor? It's all a question of just from a Mumminist standpoint, who does the se belong to? So why, in terms of the din of Pidyon Petach Hamor, can't you use it again in both cases?
If it's Avadai Petach Hamor, then once you mafresh it, as a Petach Hamor, it belongs to Shevet Kuhuna. So you can't use it. You can't use it to be poida a second time. It's not yours. Let's say I have a Petach Hamor, and I'm going to take your behemoth to be poida my Petach Hamor. How can I use your behemoth? So if it's a Vadai Petach Hamor, and then you make a Pidyon Petach Hamor, so the sand no longer belongs to the farmer. It already belongs to Shevet Kuhuna. But if it's a Safek Petach Hamor, so then he keeps it. The farmer keeps it because Amotz Mechaber Olivar I pass concise that it's his. So he can use it a second time, then he can use it a third time. But he's going to use it 10 times, then it's going to be, the odds are going to be such that it's going to be a miyuta, the miyuta that he has a right to keep.
So you can use two or three.
Okay, Anachanami. The Gemara wanted to say that if you use 10, none of them are lakuach. Ma'asran v'hem shalom. Because you're not mafresh ma'isa behema on lakuch. You're only mafresh ma'isa behema on animals that belonged, that were born in your flocks, and you never gave up ownership of it. If you sold it to someone else and you bought it back, then it's lakuch, then it's not chayv, it's not mitzarev to be chayv in ma'isa behema. At the end of the parsha, you have the din in the midbar when they were traveling, so the Kohanim had to put all the kelim in ksuyar tachash. They had to put everything in cloth, or tachash is leather, and sometimes they put in big day hasrod. And then the Levim would take it and they would carry it. So the pasuk ends off. The parshans of Lo Yavol Liris Kevalas Hakodesh from Mesu. There's an Anish Amisa B'Deisha Mayim. If the Levim will be present, when the Kohanim are putting all the Kelim, the Shulchan and the Arayin, and the Menorah and someone, they're putting them in the Big De'asrod. Yeah, so that none of the Mani HaMitzvah count this in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the simple explanation that they give is because it's Ayrashah. The Rambam has in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the first klal is that you don't count the mitzvahs the Rabbanim. And the second klal is that you don't count something that's Ayrashah. And the third klal is that you don't count something that's only a drasha of the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's the simple reason why it's not counted. Lo Yivaliyus Kavalas HaKadosh, it's only HaRasha, it's not a Din L'Doros, it's only applied in the Midbar. So Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo, who invented a whole Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rav Sadia Gaon, he took the poem that Rav Sadia Gaon composed, that he has all of the Taryag Mitzvahs listed off, and he developed the whole Shita. What is Rav Sadia Gaon Shita and the Minyan HaMitzvahs? He has the three fat volumes of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rav Sadia Gaon, each one the size of Baba Basra. And he has this whole, he quotes from all the kinnis and all the slichas and all the piyutim in order to prove his point. He quotes from very irregular sources that no one else was familiar with. He was a big buck, he was a balabas. He was a businessman, he was a balabas. So he has a taina that it's not true. It's not a hayrasha. Because the Gemara says that during the Vaisheni period, at the end of the Bais Rishon period, it says in Divrei Yomim, Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Orim with the Luchas with the Tzinsenes Haman and the Shemen HaMishcha. So there were no longer Kohanim Gedolim Moshoch the Shemen HaMishcha, or Kohanim Gedolim after that point were Meruba Begodim. And there was no longer Tzinsenes Haman, and the Orim was in the basement. When the Kohen Gadol did the Tzvi Kasadam on Yom Kippur in front of the Orim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he would be Zorik Mechuvin Kenega, the place where the Oren used to be, but there was no Oren the whole Baishen. So towards the end of the Baishen period, it says that the Oren with the Luchas, everything was in the basement of the Beis HaMikdosh. That the Rambam explained what in the basement, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdosh, he followed Hakol Biksab Miyad Hashem Alay Haskel, followed all the rules and regulations that the Novi gave to Dovin HaMelech. Dovin HaMelech gave it over to Shlomo. He had the Megillah Biksav about all the rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Megillah had that there's supposed to be a chamber in the basement when it'll come time to move the Orim with the Luchas out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they should put it in the basement. Fine. But the Shad is the Baisheni period. Where was the Orim with the Luchas during Baisheni? So it's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Was it also in the basement? The Rambam adapts that position. It was also in the basement. The other Tanoim think, no, it was in Babel, it was somewhere else, whatever. It's a question where it was. So the Gemara tells a story that during the Baisheni period, whether the Kohanim realized that one of the tiles on the floor is crooked, so he picked it up and he found that there was a trap door there, and he went down the steps and he found that was the chamber where the Orim with the Luchas were during the Baisheni period. That's on the story is only true if you assume that that's where the Orim with the Luchas were during the Baisheni period. And then he looked, because he looked at the Orim, so he died. Because the pasuk says, so Rabbi Yeruchim Perla Tain is, don't you see that it's a din l'daris? It's not just a hayrasha. So he has this kasha, the Moni HaMitzvah should have counted it. If the Gemara tells the story, and the Gemara says he was chayv misa b'dei shemayim because he was looking at the Oren, so you see that it's a din l'daris. Doesn't only apply in the days of the Midbar. Then the Gemara there on that daf, the Gemara is bothered with a kasha. That when the workers would go in, sometimes if the building needed fixing, it was leaking in the roof or something, so they would send in people to fix the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to fix the building. So sometimes they would see the Oren. They would see the Oren there. They would try to avoid seeing the Oren, but strictly speaking, it's permissible to look at the Oren. So how come sometimes there's an Issa, sometimes it's Mutter? So the Gemara says, when the Oren is Bimkomo, then it's Mutter to look at the Oren. When the Oren is Shalom Bimkomo, they took down the whole Mishkan over here. The last Pasuk in the Parsha, they took down the whole Mishkan, and they're traveling. Or when the Oren was in the basement, in the Baisheni period, the Oren was Shalom Bimkomo. Whenever the Oren is not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not in the right place, then you're not allowed to look at the yarn. Then the din applies. Whenever the yarn is bimkomo, then you are allowed to look at the yarn. So the Gemara says, Moshal amadava daima. So the Gemara says, when a girl is an arusa and she's bebeis aviha, she didn't move in with the husband yet, so then habol arusasa is like it. Then there's an isa de rabbanan. They're not allowed to be together. Not allowed to be lovey-dovey. But when they have nisuin, then they're living together. The husband and wife are living together. So the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a marriage, the whole Shir HaShirim and other places in Navi. So just like by a regular marriage, the erisin and there's nisuin, so by the relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom also. Sometimes the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like erisin, sometimes it's like nisuin. So whenever the Oren is bimkomo, then the relationship is one like nisuin. So then they're allowed to look at the Oren. The husband and the wife are allowed to look at each other. But when the Oren is shalom bimkom, or they just took down the Mishkan, so the Mele Oren is no longer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you're not allowed to look. So it's interesting. So the Mishlam Melech has this comment. That by normal marriage, there is no such thing. You can go back and forth by erisin, nisuin, erisin, nisuin. Once you have nisuin, you can't revert back to erisin unless you give your wife a get and you start all over again. You can't become an arusa. After they already had nisuin, you can't become an arusa. But over here, that's what happens. When you take down the Mishkan, and when you take the Oren, shalom bimkomo, even though there was a state of nisuin, but when you take the Oren, shalom bimkomo, then it becomes again erisin. So the Pasuk says in the Haftarah that the day will come we will no longer refer to the Rebbe Shel Olam as, where's the Pasuk? Baali Ela Ishi. I forgot already where it is. V'ayo b'yomahu Nuhum Hashem L'asi Lavai Tikri Ishi V'lo Tikri Li'od Baali. We won't refer to Rebbeinu Shalom as Baali, we'll refer to him as Ishi. So what's the difference? So maybe Pasha Pshat is because there was a time that the Jews used to worship the Baal. So he called Rebbeinu Shalom Baali, so it smacks from the name of Avodah Zarah. So the day will come that we will refer to Rebbeinu Shalom with a Losh and Nekiah, Ishi instead of Baali. But then Mishlam Melech suggests that maybe it means a different thing. Maybe it means Ishi means Nisuin and Baali means Erisin. That calls man that the Oren is shalom bimkomo, like the Gemara in Yuma had the comment on the last pasuk. When is there an isa leivoy liris kavalas hakodesh ameisu? That's when the Oren is shalom bimkomo. Then the Jewish people have a relationship with the Rabbanu Shel Olam, like one of erisin. When lasi lava, when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt and the Oren will be back where it belongs, then we will become again like nisuin. So the truth of the matter is that there's always a very obvious connection between the Haftarah and the Kriya, and sometimes there's a less obvious connection. And if you look at the Midrashim, usually you'll find the less obvious connection. Here it's not the Midrashim, here it's the Mishlam Melech has this essay. Mishlam Melech has a whole sefer called Parashas Drachim, where he has beautiful essays of Agadita. So this is one of the essays in the Parashas Drachim. He thinks that maybe that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. Baali means erisin and ishi means nisuin. But based on the next pasuk, it says sounds like we refer to the Rebbeinu Shalom as Baali because we used to worship the Baal. So it sounds from the simple reading of the pasuk a different pshat. But that's what the Mishlam Melech suggests. Maybe that's the connection between. Maybe that's another subtle, more subtle connection. I mean, the obvious connection is that the Haftarah talks about taking a census of Bnei Yisrael. Hamis Bnei Yisrael kechol ha'am, asher lo yisafer, asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer. But there's often another connection. Meshech Chochma from Rabbi Simcha has a very fascinating concept. He was a Kohen, so it didn't bother him if he knocks down the Levim. So he says, there's Kedushas Kahuna. There's such a thing as Kedushas Kahuna. When a Kohen duchens, when a Kohen eats truma, when a Kohen does hakrovas hakarbonas, that you need a Kohen, he doesn't say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu. He says, Asher Kedushanu b'kedushas v'shalara v'tzivanu l'baruch ha'sam yisod b'yava. Asher Kedushanu b'kedushas v'shalara v'tzivanu al achilas truma. The question is, a Levi, does a Levi have Kedushas Leviyah? Or maybe it's only Shevet Levi. So he thinks that there ain't no such thing as Kedushas Levi. The Kohanim have Kedushas Kuhuna, and that's why the Truma has Kedusha. The Levim have no Kedushas Leviya, and that's why there's no Kedusha to the Maaseh Rishayin. The Pasuk says, V'chalta Maaseh b'chol makom. It's at the end of Parshas Korach. So the Gemara has a drasha, V'chalta Maaseh b'chol makom, afilu bebeis ha-gvaris, that the Maaseh Rishayin has no Kedusha. That a zayna can eat it al pi pashtus, and a zar is permitted. A zar is not allowed to eat truma, but a zar is allowed to eat maaseh rishon, because maaseh rishon has no kedusha. That's what. So the Meshul Chochma says, how did the Tanoim know there is a Gemara in Megillah that not only does the Sefer Torah have kedusha, not only the Tilin have kedusha, the mental of the Sefer Torah, the Aron Kodesh of the Sefer Torah, or the cardboard boxes around the tefillin, or the tefillin zekel, everything has a status of tashmishi kedusha. But what if it's tashmish to tashmish? Let's say I have a plastic cover on top of the cloth cover, the tefillin zekel. So when the plastic cover rips, I throw it in the garbage. You don't have to put it in the shemus. Why? Because it's twice removed from the guf hakedusha. The guf hakedusha is the tefillin, and the cardboard boxes, that's tashmishi kedusha. Tefillin zekel also is tashmishi kedusha because you have the ritzuas there, so the ritzuas are not covered up. As far as the batim are concerned, the batim are covered up by the plastic box, or the cardboard box. So then the cloth cover would be twice removed. That would be tashmish to tashmish. As far as the ritzuas are concerned, the ritzuas are not covered up with anything else. It's only covered up with the cloth tefillin zekel. So the tefillin zekel, the cloth tefillin zekel is tashmishi kedusha. But then you have a plastic cover on top of the cloth tefillin zekel to protect that. That's twice removed from the gufik dusha. So the Gemara says, Megillah tashmish letashmish doesn't have any kedusha. The Gemara says they used to have a paroiches in front of the Aron Kodesh, so the Sefer Torah was muruch in the Aron Kodesh. So the Aron Kodesh is gufik. Sefer Torah is gufik dusha. The Aron Kodesh is tashmishik dusha. And then the paroiches in front ought really to be a tashmish to tashmish. The paroiches in front is to beautify the Aron Kodesh, which in turn contains the Sefer Torah. So the paroiches should have been twice removed. So the Gemara said, Bismana Gemara, it was a common practice that when they would lay Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, they would take down the paroiches from in front of the Aron Kodesh and put it on